Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, April the 8th, 2024 on When I Rise. Today we begin Year B, the third Sunday after Easter, and on the Monday of the week, we typically do an Old Testament passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary and this week of the church's calendar year. But as I mentioned last week, during the season of Easter, the lectionary will sub out an Old Testament passage for a passage from the book of Acts. So we're going to go back there today, Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. Peter saw them all and began to speak. "Fellow Israelites," he said, "why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us as though it was our own power or piety that made this man walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our ancestors. He has glorified his child Jesus, the one you handed over and denied in the presence of Pilate, although he had decided to let him go. You denied the Holy One, the Just One, and requested instead to have a murderer given to you, and so you killed the Prince of Life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses to the fact. And it is in his name, working through faith in his name, that has given strength to this man whom you see and know. It is faith which comes through him that has given him this new complete wholeness in front of you all. Now, my dear family," Peter continued, "I know that you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did, but this is how God has fulfilled what he promised through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. So now repent and turn back so that your sins may be blotted out." This is the word of God for us. All right, so this story is the dialogue after a big event that just happened in the book of Acts. So Acts chapter 2, the Spirit falls upon the community of Jesus, and they begin to proclaim Jesus, and some news begins to billow out into the streets of Jerusalem. And there's just a normal time of prayer in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, and they heal a man who's lame and who's begging at the gate called Beautiful. And because of this, they have to give an answer. And this is a kind of interesting scenario. Like, it's a miracle. Don't you think that people should just rejoice in it? But no, like the religious authorities, they want to know exactly why this is happening and how they are able to do such a thing. And so Peter does something rather delicately here. He first just talks about the sovereignty of God. He says that God has always been talking about a suffering servant. And according to Peter's estimation of the Old Testament story, there was always going to be a rescuer, a Messiah, who would be in the middle of Israel, and unfortunately, that Messiah would suffer. Now, so other people believe this, and they believe that maybe that suffering would come because of foreign nations, or they call them the Goyim, the other nations, the other people outside of Israel. Like, surely a native Israelite like would not deny or harm the Messiah whom God has promised. And so on the one hand, Peter wants to talk about how God has never taken his hand off the wheel. Like, this has been one long winding story, and Jesus reveals that God is committed to this one story. On the other hand, he does have to convey to them that they are the ones who fail God. Yes, the suffering did come to God's servant, the Messiah, but it came from within Israel. Pilate wanted to let him off, right? Like, and I think the Gospels even convey some of that. Like, Pilate is you know, greatly disturbed and conflicted about what he should do with Jesus. He considers him an innocent one in some of the accounts. And it was the insistence upon the people of Israel that Jesus was crucified and handed over. And so Peter says, now we've got to settle our account with God. Our ancestors would have grieved over this, that this is something that they were longing for and anticipating. And here was the day and the hour, and we weren't prepared for it. And because of that, we have sin against our God. And so Peter's final appeal, he's taking this moment of this very boisterous conversation about even the power to heal a layman. It's this power was ascribed from Jesus, right? The one whom God appointed. but because you guys rejected him, and we all need to confess and repent so that our sins might be blotted out before God, right? And so Peter's doing some cleaning of the house, some interrogation of Israel, how they have fallen short of how they were supposed to represent God to the nations. Here, the nations were eager to hear. The nations had come to Palestine through the occupation of the Roman Empire. I mean, there are some cities just maybe a short, you know, maybe half a day's walk from Jesus' hometown in Nazareth, a town called Sepphoris that was brimming with great diversity, right? So the nations were coming to Israel, and when it was time for Israel to talk about their God and to represent their God, they decided to turn their back on this God. But God in his kindness, I think this is the thing that underscores the whole section of scripture. God in his kindness wants to forgive, and he wants to restore, and he wants, as the next verse says, times of refreshing, right? So times of repentance would lead to times of refreshing. It would be the restoration of the vocation of Israel. It would be that they would now become those who would herald the good news to the ends of the earth. And that's what Peter is giving all of his strength, and the other apostles are giving their strength to prepare Israel to be the heralds and those who would give the message to the ends of the earth about God's salvation, right? But first, they had to deal with the record of sin against them that God certainly sees. And so Peter's like, let's run to the mercy seat of God. Let's be forgiven. Let's be restored so that we can be these people. I think this is one of the neat things about the season of Easter. Easter is this time of refreshing. In the liturgical year, if this is your first time around the liturgical cycle, you get this this rhythm and this pattern at times throughout the year. But the season of Lent is 6 weeks long, and it's punctuated by fasting and lowliness. But the season of Easter is 7 weeks. It's 1 week more than the season of Lent, and it's not a season of lowliness and repentance anymore, of fasting. It's actually a season of feasting, a celebration. And I think this is something that we need to keep in tension, is yes, God is certainly serious about our wrongdoing. He wants our sins blotted out. I mean, he gave his son for that endeavor and for that regard. But God also wants us to be a people of celebration. We bask in the afterglow of forgiveness and of restoration and salvation, so that we could be these people that's brimming with joy because of this gift that we've been given from our God. And then because of that, let's go from nation to nation, people to people group, and begin to talk about this great God who heals, restores, and forgives, and who's rescuing this world because he created it, he's sustaining it, and he totally wants to redeem it all the way from the middle of its mess so that all can call upon the name of the Lord. And so that's our pattern as well. We have seasons of loneliness where we come before God and ask for God's forgiveness so that we can be forgiven. And that after that forgiveness, then we can go and we can celebrate and we can tell of the good news that God is a healing God, a merciful God, and he wants to be merciful to all who call upon him. So with those things in mind, we'll spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the passage this morning because it brings us great comfort. We confess, God, that at times, even as your people, we miss the mark, and we stand for the wrong things, and we celebrate the wrong things, and we neglect our vocation and calling to be the people who host the memory of Jesus and who bear witness to the presence of Jesus in this life, and we exchange it for lesser loves. And so we ask that you would forgive us. We thank you for the underscoring of this passage, which is you're a God who is eager to be merciful and kind, and so because of that, we give you thanks. And so God, as we reckon with our own lives and as we confess our own sins, we pray that you'd heal, restore us, that you'd empower us to be those who bear witness to the ends of the earth. And so we pray for the church today, God, that this would be a season of refreshing among your people, that there'd be joy and celebration during the season of Easter, that we bear witness to the empty tomb, and that we'd see lives put back together and restored because of your great love for all the world. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.